This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Hey, we've reached the midweek point already of the week. Hey, Ron Culver's still on vacation. We'll be for the rest of the week. Tony D taking you through the morning. Thanks for joining us here on Wake Up Call. All right, coming up, Aaron Rodgers has reported to camp. Yay! Packer fans get at least one more season to see if he can win a title. But already, the Packers are starting to act on at least one of his wishes. We'll talk about that. And is there a there to this entire story? Because I'm going to examine really the media fascination with where this was going and where we ended up with in the Aaron Rodgers, I hate the Green Bay Packers story. A lot of it was exaggerated and a lot of it was pulled in different directions that we probably were never going anyway. But it is a sort of a microcosm of how we treat stories like this. We'll get into that and what it does mean for the Packers now that Aaron Rodgers is in camp and now they're trying to work together to try to create something. Also, yesterday, just as we were on, we heard the news that Simone Biles in Tokyo had pulled herself out of team competition in Tokyo due to mental health. It was not a physical injury, it was mental health. She's also now withdrawn from the individual competition on Thursday, still scheduled to perform in other gymnastic events later, but we'll see about that. And already there's two camps about where this decision fits in terms of the way people are absorbing it. One is to say she absolutely quit on her team, quit on herself. What is going on here? And the other is to realize we're in a new day and age of mental health and the openness of mental health. So we'll discuss that coming up as well. Plus, today is the day for most teams in the NFL. They're actually starting camp. Reported yesterday, starting camp today. Dallas, Tampa Bay, Pittsburgh started early. A couple of teams had quarterback camps, but today is the day most of the NFL is getting started with their training camp. And what is on the plate for training camp around the country for most teams? Quarterbacks. Why not? We've got quarterback competitions and we've got new faces and new places. So we'll dissect that coming up this hour. But coming up, Aaron Rodgers did show up and the Packers are going after one of his favorites. And so where exactly did this story end up? We'll talk about that next. It is Wake Up Call. Hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio if you want to join in the conversation as we continue on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us as we continue along. It is Wake Up Call. Again, Ron Culver on vacation. So yesterday, Aaron Rodgers showed up for camp. Yay! I said it at the top, and I'll keep saying it throughout the show today. I'm wondering if we took this story and didn't find a there. All right, we went through a lot with this story from the offseason, from draft night, where people in Denver thought that there was a package in place that Aaron Rodgers would be traded to them, thus eliminating the Drew Lock experiment on their table. Now it's obviously with Teddy Bridgewater in play, but that didn't happen. Aaron Rodgers going to Jeopardy, and that's not happening either. What is happening in Green Bay right now is exactly what should have happened, which is a quarterback expressed his anger towards his team, had no leverage, got a little bit out of the deal, but in the end ended up where he was from the very start. Got a little bit in terms of concessions from the team. He now can walk away. He can leave the organization. They can fix things that he doesn't like. Now they're willing to listen to him. But in the end, there was a lot of speculation that really wasn't going nowhere when the numbers didn't add up whatsoever. And I'll go back to draft night when this story first broke, where Rodgers wanted out, demanding a trade, didn't like the organization and the way they've run things for the last couple of years, really ticked off a year before when they drafted Jordan Love. And just in general, didn't like the team, right? It's like, I've never been divorced, but I have friends who have been divorced where they, where, you know, you just go, and I just couldn't even stand them breathing. Like, I just, like, it just, their way they breathe just drive me crazy. Like, it would just be silliness like that you would hear. And that's what this kind of was, right? Rodgers was a little petty, but in some cases he had a legitimate gripe. But when people were going, well, where is he going to get traded? Without even thinking that the possibility was the Packers weren't going to trade him at all. Right? We jumped as a media group right into the world of the speculations of where he would land when there was no landing spot ever, other than exactly where he is today. There was no jeopardy on the table. I talked about this yesterday. Why in the sports world would we assume that he was going to be the host of that show? That he was just going to get it because he wanted it? I didn't even think he was that good at it. But here's the other part. The numbers, and if you really looked at it, weren't going to make a lot of sense, whether it was going to be Denver or anybody else. The Packers couldn't trade him without suffering a severe penalty, severe dead money expense, if they did it around the time of the draft. And yet we all were waiting, wondering if that was going to happen. When if we had just did a little homework, we would have said, there's no reason for this to happen. And yet we believed that it would. And the other thing too is, why again would they? Why would they hand him off to another team to be competitive? Look, there's 32 teams, right? Only one team's winning the Super Bowl. If you send Aaron Rodgers off to another team, one, that's one more team that's going to be competitive for the Super Bowl, and you've just lessened your chance of doing exactly that. And why would they do it? Because he wanted to. If you have somebody in your life that is screaming about how horrible you are, why would you do something to make them happier for you? Like, why would the Packers trade Aaron Rodgers at the detriment to their own organization because he complained about them over and over and over again? No, this story had no real outcome other than what we are having today. Again, minor details here. They're going to listen to him more, right? They're going to change the way they do some things. They're going to offer him an opportunity to not franchise tag him down the road, an opportunity to leave if he's unhappy with the organization. But the Packers, in the end, get a good thing here, right? They get an opportunity to win a Super Bowl with a team that was very close to doing it last year. And the second thing is, they get an opportunity to eventually get Jordan Love under center when the time is right, when he decides to leave them, not them forcing themselves to force him out. These are two things that I think work in the Packers' favor. Now, granted, this whole idea of, you know, where, you know, what are you going to do when you have issues with the team, mechanisms in place to address issues with the team, I have no idea what that means. I'm very curious to see exactly what that means. But already you're starting to see the Packers make a move. They're after Randall Cobb again. They're after a guy that Aaron Rodgers really likes. Now, I don't know about you, but did the Packers have any interest in bringing back Randall Cobb before yesterday? Was this a conversation where it's like, you know who would be great for Jordan Love if Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up? Randall Cobb. Let's go make a phone call. No, this is them listening to Rodgers, something he complained that they didn't do before. So already we're starting to see a little bit of this, if this story does play out the way it's being played out. Right? I mean, I do not believe Green Bay would have, you know, pursued Randall Cobb in any other scenario other than making Rodgers happy. All right, so it's a little different, right? Green Bay is bending a little bit. And Rodgers is bending in a way that he's going to play for an organization he apparently hates. Okay, concessions aside, this story, again, ends up exactly where we started. The only thing that we had was a lot of drama from the point on draft night in April to now, where we thought there was a possibility that he would be playing in 2021 under a different system, coach, and team. But in reality, that was never going to happen. Now, look, don't get me wrong. A lot of people in the media, myself included, have to throw out every single angle. You have to look at every possibility. And it might be very remote that the Packers would have picked up the phone and dialed it to somebody in a trade offer, or picked it up hearing a trade offer. But it's still on the table as a possibility. It wasn't impossible that they would trade him. It was very difficult to trade him, given the finances. I mean, they were really strapped in that dead money situation. It was like $38 million that they would have had to use if they had traded him before June 2nd. Now, that information alone should have been a red flag to everybody that said the Broncos, for example, had a done deal in place. The people who reported that should have said, wait, hold on, would this make sense? Would the Packers do this now? And the answer is, of course they wouldn't. And again, just from a football competitive state, why would you, when you don't have to, give up the one person that is getting you closer to a Super Bowl than you've had in a while? Aaron Rodgers was a home win away from going to the Super Bowl. They should have won that game. And so a lot of times, and you see this with teams that had close losses or losses where, you know, it was, oh man, we were right there ready to bite the apple and it got away from us, is that you end up in a season where, and this is going to happen to the Packers, because they went 13-3 last year, had again the home game for the NFC Championship game. What will happen in this season is that organization, as close as they can to getting, you know, getting everybody back, is going to say, what we want to do is fast forward to exactly where we left off, right? So 17 weeks of football will be 17 weeks of football, but the goal is to get where we were just at, which was the NFC Championship game at Lambeau Field against the Buccaneers, and there was a miscommunication on what the fourth down play was going to be, right? That kind of scenario. And we kicked a field goal. That is what the Packers will do. But this had no real retirement on the other end, no real trade to somebody else on the other end. This was a guy that it was a lot of money on the table. I know he's made a lot of money, but when you make a lot of money, you tend to need a lot of money. And there's too much at stake for him on principle alone to have said, I'm walking away over these little tiny things. Because that's a legacy I don't think Aaron Rodgers, if he cares about this kind of thing, would really want. Right? I mean, would we want to look back on Aaron Rodgers and say, he was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, only won one Super Bowl, but then he just walked away because they drafted a kid at quarterback and didn't tell him? I don't think you'd want that. You kind of feel like as a competitor, you'd want to be taken off the field at the last gasp of you being able to play. Right? We say this about the NFL all the time. It will let you go before you want to let it go. Other sports, you can hang around a little bit beyond your productiveness, but the NFL has a tendency to see your productiveness declining just enough to say bye. And in Rodgers' case, would he have really wanted at 30 years old to say, I'm leaving, but it's not because of physical health. It's not because I can't produce. It's not because I can't play. It's not because I left everything out there and it wasn't good enough. In fact, I was an MVP, one win away from the Super Bowl, but I left because of they didn't talk to me like I thought they should have when they drafted the kid. I don't think it's really what Rodgers would have wanted. And I think the Packers played it out. They're not doing a, ha-ha, we told you so, get to work. They did a, you know what, we know where you're at, you know where we're at, let's somewhere in the middle, let's come together. I know you're not happy here, but we want you here. And you know what, if you just do this for us, here's what we can do for you. And that's what adults do. So that's where we're at today as training camp opens. All right, coming up next, Simone Biles, she left the team. She has left the individual competition. What does this mean? And where are people going with this story about mental health? That's next on Wake Up Call.
Wake-Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
O'Reilly Auto Parts specializes in keeping your car on the road. Not sure how much life is left in your battery? O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. The professional parts people would test your battery for free. If it does need to be replaced, they can help you find just the right one to fit your car. Superstart batteries are built to handle even the toughest conditions. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Where it's the heat of the summer, but before you know it, and I find this as I get older and older, like months just tick off way too fast, and before you know it, some of you are going to be in the dead of winter wondering how that battery is going to be. I know, we haven't even reached football season yet. I always look forward to football season like all of you, but then I get there and it's amazing how fast that flies. I mean, it's like, oh God, we're in Labor Day, it's September, there's college football on my TV, NFL's coming up later, and before I know it, we're putting up the Christmas tree. Before I know it. Although this year we're doing a Halloween tree, which we did last year, which was kind of cool. And now my wife wants to do it every year. So
sounds very spooky.
It is.
Is it like a haunted elm?
She got this idea where people are putting up the Christmas trees and they're decorating in a Halloween lighting with pumpkins and spooky stuff. And I don't know where this came from, but my wife said, we like the holidays and we love Halloween. That's one of our favorite holidays. She said, we should do this. We should try it. So we did. Actually, it was kind of cool.
Yeah, I like that idea.
We had orange and purple lights on the tree. And, there are people who sell Halloween tree decorations. We thought it was kind of neat. We tried it one year and it actually was pretty good. Halloween's our favorite because we decorate the house like crazy. I mean, the house is nuts. It's a little overboard. It's a little weird. I get it. But, Halloween's our thing. So I'm looking forward to the fall again. But it goes by quick. You wake up and it's just one day you're like, it's, winter storm. All right. So the Tokyo Olympics yesterday, and I can't remember when we did this. I think it was hour two, right? Probably like the second half, where we got the news that Simone Biles was pulling herself out of the team competition for the United States. And at the time, immediately people were suspecting injury because she did a vault and she didn't really look that great on the vault. And people were immediately saying, oh, looks like she's hurt or something. And it turned out she wasn't hurt. She was dealing with some mental stress and she pulled out. She says, I got to do what's right for me, but I'm also doing what's right for the team, and now I'm done. I'm out. And she told her team, I've been to the Olympics. Go out there. Go get it. I'll be pulling for you. And they won the silver medal. Russia won the gold, but the United States won the silver medal. So naturally, this is a big story because Simone Biles is one of the premier United States Olympic athletes. She is one of the greatest gymnasts of all time. Highly decorated and, 24 years old, so she's a veteran of Olympic gymnastics, and cited mental health. Now, we've heard this before. Naomi Osaka pulled out of the French Open, didn't like talking to the media, pulled out of Wimbledon. Mental health. We're seeing it with more and more athletes who are coming out and being more open to say, I'm not in a right place. I'm not in a good place, and I've got to go figure this out. Naturally, there's criticism. And listen, I've seen a lot of people say that if you have a problem with Simone Biles, well, screw you. I'm not saying that the people who are criticizing Simone Biles are right by any means. But I have to remember that a lot of people who are having a problem with this have had a problem or are having a problem with it because of the nature of sports in their life for a long, 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 long period of time. Usually it's not a young person that has an issue with this. It's more of an older individual who has had sports in their whole life filled with stories of athletes overcoming personal obstacles and performing anyway. And also physical obstacles and performing anyway, or being able to live up to the stresses of their moment, right? Whether it's a Jackie Robinson, whether it's a Jesse Owens, whether it is an athlete on that level that is doing something way beyond important than just their athletic accomplishment. Now, Simone Biles is competing in the United States, in the Olympics for the United States at 24 years old. It's not a groundbreaking thing. It's not setting new ground. It's not breaking down a barrier. But it is an Olympian representing the United States who got on the team and took a spot away from somebody else who has decided just to upend and stop. Right? Just went, I didn't like it. I didn't like the way I performed, and that's it. But I do have to say that I agree with people who say it took courage for her to admit this in the press conference, because she's smart enough to know that this is not going to land well with a number of people, a number of U.S. fans, and she has to go, I don't care. I'm going to tell it like it is. The issue isn't, are athletes softer today? That's not the question. Because I tend to believe that a lot of issues, general issues, not, you know, microscopic focused issues. Like if you're addicted to your phone, you have nothing. Somebody in the, in the 1920s can't relate to that. It's not the same thing. But if you're dealing with the stress of athletic performance, that has almost been universal since athletic competition started. Right? I mean, that's Roger Maris's hair fell out when he was chasing Babe Ruth's record. Like that has been a constant, right? Athletes back in the 20s, back in the 1900s had been dealing with the stress of performing. That's a natural part of competition. But what you're seeing in 2021 is more of a willingness of athletes to step up and say, I don't like this. What's going on in my head? I'm having problems with this. I need to talk to somebody about this. I have an issue here. Now, I'm going to say this, and as a guy who loves athletic competition and loves sports and has an emotional attachment to the outcomes of events, Simone Biles, just like the Pittsburgh Steelers, the team I root for, or any other team that I follow and care about, they don't owe me anything. Those individual athletes don't owe me anything. Yep, I may buy a ticket. Yep, I may buy gear. Yep. But in the end, they don't owe me anything. They need to figure out whether or not they want to do that. And if they don't, then somebody else gets plopped in their place. Simone Biles doesn't owe anybody anything. She's an Olympic athlete who realized I would hurt my team's chances of meddling because I can't do this, whatever this may be, right now. And for her, it was the vault. When she was warming up and did the vault and realized, I'm not doing this right. And if I do this in the competition, then my team will lose. How many times have we talked about athletes who were trying to perform through something where they probably hurt their team than trying to help them? Whether it's a basketball player who can't hit shots and keeps missing all night, or a pitcher wanting to stay in the game when he doesn't have his fastball. Sometimes in a team competition, you need to know where exactly you are and where exactly are you contributing. And Simone Biles realized, I'm not going to be contributing to this group of athletes who are here for the first time, and for some of them, maybe their only time, and I'm going to hurt their chances of being of meddling. So all of this, she's a coward, she's a quitter, she's a baby, she's a millennial, she is soft. You have to push all of those aside for a second, because how many of the athletes of old, if they had an opportunity to do what she did in a more open culture, would do the same exact thing? Now, some wouldn't, but some would. Trust me, some would. Because in the end, all of the critics, all of the people like me and you and anybody else that just observes this from the outside without ever being a gymnast, without ever being an Olympian, or ever being an athlete on the highest level, we honest to God have absolutely no idea what that is like. We have no idea what they wake up to and who's pulling at them in 25 different, 30 different, 50 different directions, especially when you're on the level of a Naomi Osaka or a Simone Biles, where you're on top of your game. That life isn't easy just because you're number one. I'll get more into this in a little bit, because there's other sports where this has popped up in, and most recently on tour, on the PGA Tour. We'll talk about that next as we continue on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sportsnap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue along in his wake-up call on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with two N's. Hit him up even though he's on vacation. Talking about the Simone Biles situation at the Olympics. Again, she's pulled out of the individual competition as well, but she pulled out of the team competition yesterday, said, you know, she has to do what's best for her in terms of the mental stress, yes, but also realizing she was also going to hurt her team. Now, the individual competition, there's probably a lot more to this, a lot more to her than we realize. But I'm not going to, I have no reason to attack this. I have no reason to say that she is something other than the greatest Olympian, you know, gymnastic Olympian that we've seen in a long time. Right. That's just it. If she's not together mentally, that's something she has to work out. But again, I said this earlier that we absolutely have no idea what it's like to be in these positions. And we tend to see more of the glamorous side of these athletes rather than the business side of it. I used to talk about this with, you know, John Elway, for example, always said that Sundays were great. It's Monday through Saturday. That was what, you know, when he realized he didn't want to do that anymore, it was time to leave. Those are the things you don't see. Those are, you know, you don't see the agonizing return homes from tough games and tough practices in the NFL and the loved ones that have to deal with the aches and the pains and the, I can't get out of bed and I need to take these pills to get out of bed. You know, we don't see that. We see the glamour of playing. Right. I used to say this all the time to people when people said I would do it for free. And I'm like, no, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. You wouldn't. It's that simple. I can't begin to tell you how you wouldn't. You'd last 10 seconds if you got into the business end of being an NFL football player. You'd last 10 seconds doing it for free before you went, I need as much money doing this as possible. Right. I mean, we just don't see the other side of this. We see a Simone Biles wearing gear, representing the United States, seeing her in these commercials. We have no idea what her average Tuesday in February is like. Right. We have no idea how many phone calls her people have to make or she has to make to get it, this sort of thing done or that sort of thing done or whatever it may be. And it extends into all sports. When I was younger, I played golf, and I loved playing golf. And I knew I was never going to be a tour pro or anything. What I wanted to do my whole life was what I'm doing right now. Always wanted to do broadcasting. So, but I loved playing golf. But I did think, even as I was playing, I was like, how awesome would it be if you could be on the PGA Tour? And how awesome would it be, even if you weren't even a star, to be on the tour, like traveling the country and playing these elite courses and playing in front of crowds and making all this money and all of that. And then as I got into this business and I got in, you know, got behind the ropes of these sort of things, right? And I got to see it in a different way. I realized it wasn't easy. It wasn't as easy as my youth thought it was, that it wasn't always glamorous. It was a lot of pressure and a lot of stress and a lot of people counting on you. And you were responsible for a lot of paychecks. It wasn't just paying your caddy. In some cases, you were paying for a swing coach. In some places, you were, you know, a mental coach. All of these people were involved in you. You had to deal with sponsors who would pull their money at any second if you didn't start producing. And it was more of a high pressure thing than I had ever seen before. Grayson Murray recently put on Twitter a whole thread about how the PGA Tour did not help him whatsoever when he was struggling under so much pressure and was susceptible to alcoholism and fell into the grips of that, saying that the PGA Tour only cares about the top 10 guys they're promoting and never once offered him a helping hand when as a young player he was out there struggling and actually hated his life on tour. Now, of course, he's not, he might be a very small percentage of tour pros who are dealing with this, but I did see in my time covering a number of events and talking to guys what a grind it is. We have to be a little bit more understanding of this. Yes, there were athletes who blazed a trail under tremendous pressure, right? If Jackie Robinson didn't stick it out, who knows how long it would have been before there would be another Jackie Robinson in Major League Baseball, right? Jesse Owens going to the Olympic Games and performing in front of Hitler, who epitomized everything that he was not, right? And he performed in a way that made Hitler leave the box. Right? There are athletes who we admire for persevering under the highest level of stress, but to take that individual and give that trait to every single person that performs for our entertainment is absolutely false. We cannot do that. We have to open up more on athletes and their struggles and their willingness to say, the powers that be never wanted me to tell you this, but here's exactly what my life is like. And I will expose some of the things that you don't know about and you don't want to know about. Some of the things that I have to deal with at my level should never happen to anybody at any level. And it's causing me my family life, my personal life, whatever it may be. I can't sleep. I can't operate because there are things in my life that I have to deal with that I need help with. And the willingness of a new generation of athletes to talk openly about this, I think should be welcomed. Because in the end, let's be honest, in the end, what does Simone Biles give the United States other than entertainment in the month of July in the Olympics? Right? I mean, that's it. So why are we demanding she perform for us? Right? Why are people throwing their arrows at her, saying, you must do this for us? Where is that coming from? So, you know, by the way, on this Grayson Murray situation on the PGA Tour, Phil Mickelson reached out to him on social media to say, hey, man, I'm sorry that the tour has been overwhelming, but if I can help you in any way, I'd love to. Now, Mickelson, as you know, Ron and I kind of have this little man crush on Mickelson because, you know, 51 and, been kind of at the top of his game forever. But he even has seen a side. He kind of gets it. And he's had a very charmed life from the moment he turned pro, right? He started winning immediately, became a superstar, started playing at Ryder Cups almost immediately, been in the Ryder Cups ever since. And not everybody has had a life where Mickelson owns his own jet and everything like that, but he does understand the grind and he does understand the tour. Because in the response, when he wrote, we'll get back to you, is the only response I've ever gotten to. Because Grayson Murray said, every time I've went to the tour to say, hey, can I get some help? I'm really, really struggling. I'm dealing with alcoholism here. I'm drinking. I'm under this. Can you help? And the tour went, we'll get back to you. And Mickelson said, I know that. I know that. I've went to them before. So, by the way, here's Simone Biles speaking on her situation a little bit at the press conference at the Tokyo Games.
I just felt like it would be a little bit better to take a back seat, work on my mindfulness, and I knew that the girls would do an absolutely great job, and I didn't want to risk the team a medal for kind of my screw-ups because they've worked way too hard for that. So I was trying a 2.5, and I ended up doing a 1.5, just got a little bit lost in the air, which is really unfortunate, especially to have a score like that go up there for the team. I feel like I robbed them of a couple of 10s, and we could have been a little bit higher in the rankings. I was like, I think the girls need to do the rest of the competition without me, and they were like, I promise you, you're fine. We watched you warm up. And I said, no, I know I'm going to be fine, but I can't risk a medal for the team. So I need to call it. And you usually don't hear me say things like that because I'll usually persevere and push through things, but not to cost the team a medal. So they were like, okay, well, if Simone says this, then we need to take it pretty serious.
There you go. Pretty good explanation. Now, a lot of people saying, well, this is a spin on her situation. I couldn't care less. I mean, this is her explanation. It's her explanation. Costing her, she said she's going to cost her team a medal. If I do what I'm doing, I'm going to cost my team a medal, right? I know there's been I was reading one where somebody was talking about Carrie Strug. Remember Carrie Strug's situation? I think it was in the Atlanta Olympics where she landed, she got on the vault and she landed on a broken ankle or something. Remember, it was a long time ago. And they said, remember Bella Crioli carried her, right? She was the big hero of the Olympic Games. But remember, at the time, she thought she was going to cost she needed to do that to win. That was in her mind. I don't think that was the truth, but that was in her mind. I've seen a lot of people making that comparison. Like, well, Carrie Strug, I mean, she was on a broken ankle for crying out loud. She landed that vault, got a perfect 10. But again, that is just putting certain characteristics and different circumstances into athletes where it may not be compatible. So I don't have a problem with Simone Biles pulling out of these if she's not mentally okay to perform or at her level to perform. Those are fine. That's fine. Because I'm not inside her head. I do not know what she's going through. She could be going through something really horrific, personal and horrific, that I do not know and I don't want to know. That is her business. But I have no right to speculate and I have no right to say she owes me a chance at the Olympic Games. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. Your thoughts on that? Love to hear it. What you thought of this and what you make of this story. It is a little hard to process because, again, especially if you're older like I am and all you have seen for most of your life is athletes just getting through it, whatever, and never sharing some of the details, whether it's going through a divorce, sexual harassment, whatever it may be that's going on in their personal life that they have to deal with. We never really knew about it. Cared to know about it. Only thing we knew was when it's time to perform or not. And then we judge on that. There's a lot of people who are just come from that school, come from that way of watching sports that are having a hard time processing what we're seeing. All right, NFL training camps are underway. And we'll talk about a couple of storylines when we continue on Wake Up Call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, this hour of Wake Up Call, presented by Rocket Mortgage. Get a mortgage that fits your life. Rocket can. We will talk to Ross Uglum, coming up from Packer Report, coming up next hour, and right away, too. So 12 past the hour next hour, we'll get the information on Aaron Rodgers. And what the Packers were willing to do. It feels weird, doesn't it, this story? Remember? All right. I'm going to try to do some analogy, right? Have you ever had a buddy that's been in a marriage or a relationship and they're going to break up and he just complains to you about her? Or maybe her, maybe she complains to you about him. And, like, that's it. I can't stand it. I mean, that's the last straw. Like, I don't know what to do. Can I sleep on your couch for a few days? I got to get a lawyer, right? And you're like, yeah. And then you listen to their side of the story. You're like, man, yeah, she did you wrong. It's not good, man. All right. I'm here for you. I'm your friend. I'm here for you. And over again, it's like, I'm never going back. No, I'm never going back. And then they finally get together and she's like, all right, I'll do this. And you go, all right, and I'll do this. And then they're back together again. And you're like, man, wasn't it just a while ago? He was like screaming that he was going to sleep on the couch and move in with us until he had a place of his own and get a lawyer. And now these two are going to compete for a Super Bowl. The organization is getting one more year out of Rodgers, and Rodgers is going to get one more year on a team that is built to win a Super Bowl right now. Right? Because, I said yesterday, if he wanted to be traded to Denver, great. He would make Denver immediately better. But the Broncos roster still lacks a few pieces where they weren't going to be a competitor for a Super Bowl next year. Right? They were not going to be in a position. Now, maybe they make the playoffs and you never know in the postseason and you never know who takes out Kansas City in the first round, whatever. But they were going to have some missing pieces enough to kind of hold them a little bit back. But the Packers should be one of the favorite teams. If you're putting a list of teams together that can win a Super Bowl right now with their roster, the Packers are on that list, right? I don't think they're the favorite. I think it's still the Buccaneers, but they're one of the favorites with Aaron Rodgers, and Rodgers knows that. And if you're unhappy enough to leave an organization that is built to win a Super Bowl, I mean, my God, then it has to run deeper than them making a concession like, and we'll let you go at the end of the year if you want, and we'll fix pretty much any problems that you have with us. If that's all it took to mend this fence, why didn't they do this a while ago? Let's be honest here. I mean, let's be honest here. Why is it that here in July, on the day camp is open, are we dealing with the Aaron Rodgers return story? When this seemed to have been easy enough to have handled back in April when he announced he wanted out. Where was this story in May? Where were these concessions in early June? Heck, I'll take late June. Heck, I'll take mid-July. But on the eve of camp, Now we get the Packers organization going, here's a bunch of things we want to give you. Is that okay? And Rodgers goes, yeah, that's good. Really? Because it seems to me not that long ago, you two were ready to just kill each other. I mean, Rodgers was ready to flush away his legacy. Again, doesn't seem to be the kind of athlete that cares about that. Right? Am I reading that right? Like, I can tell. I've been around enough professional athletes to know who cares about how they're viewed and who doesn't. Right? There are some athletes who really want to make sure when their playing days are over, they get a media job, that they're still in the public light, that they are still seen as a lovable figure. And there are some athletes who couldn't care less. There's some athletes like, I'm making a lot of money and then you're never going to hear from me again. Now, Aaron Rodgers was, you know, toying with the idea of hosting Jeopardy, but I don't think he wanted to have an NFL legacy of a guy that was willing to leave a Super Bowl contending team because he didn't get his way. But that's where we're at. By the way, there's a lot of quarterback battles going on in the NFL. We're going to talk about it coming up next hour. There's four that I'm really watching. Now, some are a little weak, you know, some are like probably not real quarterback battles, but just interesting stories that may be developing. Like the Patriots, Cam Newton versus Mac Jones. Could you see Mac Jones starting in week one? Probably not. Could you see Trey Lance starting over Jimmy Garoppolo for the Niners in week one? Probably not. But there's a legitimate battle between Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston, and Drew Locke trying to fend off Teddy Bridgewater in Denver. And Andy Dalton says that he is the starter in Chicago. That is why he's there. He's QB1, even though they drafted Justin Fields. We'll get to that. Plus, quarterbacks, new faces, and new places, and how it may turn out a little early prediction as camp opens up around the country. It is Tony D on Sports Map Radio.